All right, welcome everybody to Planet GameCube's second podcast. Happy to announce that we now have an official name.
Yeah.
You can stop calling us Planet GameCube's official podcast or the official podcast of Planet GameCube, as we are now Radio Free Nintendo.
Yes, Radio Free Nintendo. It just rolls off of the tongue.
It does, inspired by Radio Free Europe, very loosely.
Yeah, we're not all for the social activism. We're just for Nintendo.
That's right.
So this is our second show, and we had a good time doing the first show. It was really an experiment more than anything else, and we have to say that we're very thankful for all the positive feedback. All of you with negative feedback, I don't like you anyways, so that's fine. Just deal with that. Somebody in Oregon does not like you.
But if you have feedback, please be sure to send it along to podcast@planetgamecube.com. Negative, positive, completely neutral. Comments about my mother. I want to hear all of it.
But no comments about my mother. She's dead. I'm just kidding. Aww. No, see, that was a bad joke. Isn't that an awful thing to say, right? We've gotten off to an incredible start, haven't we? Dead mothers.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so we wanted to tell you, I kind of had a funny experience this past week, because when I first posted the podcast, I was really nervous about it, and I posted it on the forums, and we started to get some feedback, and I listened to it because I was nervous. I listened to it again and again, and then eventually Wandering, our good friend on the forums, did a transcript of it, and a very loose transcript, if I may say. He adds his own commentary throughout the transcript. You might get to see that later. but in reading it, I was kind of shocked that people liked it, because I realized that not only did we have nothing valuable to say at all, did we add nothing to your lives in any way, but that we actually took away some of the value of being a human in speaking.
Oh, come on now.
Well,
not that bad.
Okay, maybe it wasn't that bad. I was just a little surprised at just listening to it again. You know how many times I said, "That's so funny"? I counted 13 times. That's
Jeez.
So funny. That's so funny.
One, two.
So don't keep track, because it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing to be broadcast over the internet. So anyways, but we're hoping we'll get better. I mean, probably not. But
I don't know. This one's not looking much better.
It's not looking much better at all. So Mike, what are we going to do? Can we get started? Should we go?
Yeah. Today we're going to start out talking about the DS Lite and some of the news that's happening around that. We're going to talk a little more about some of Nintendo's games for the DS at E3. We talked about Wii ad nauseum last week, so this week we're giving you a lot of DS.
Yeah, and after that we'll answer some viewer mail and talk about some of the quirkier games that we got to play on the DS at E3, including some of my favorites.
All right, so first up is our news. Big news this week, apart from The Wizard finally coming to DVD on August 29th.
Can I interrupt you, Mike? I've never seen The Wizard.
I can't believe you.
Yeah,
it's like sacrilege. As a Nintendo fan, you need to have seen The Wizard.
I'm feeling a little... Mike was making fun of me earlier for it. I'm feeling a little hurt, actually, that, like, I try to recommend Mike some good movies, and he's like, "Well, have you seen The Wizard?"
Who the hell is Stanley Kubrick?
Oh man, yeah. Well, anyway, so now that it's on DVD, I guess I've got no excuse.
Yeah. So, big news apart from The Wizard is the DS Lite is now coming to Europe on June 26th. All you lovely Europeans will be able to buy a DS Lite in the pearl white color available globally, or a currently exclusive, very shiny black color.
I don't know.
And if you're interested at all, you're going to pay £100 or €150 for that little sucker.
That's a little spendy. That's a little
yeah.
spendy. And you know what? I'll tell you the truth. When I was in the hotel looking at everybody's DS Lights, the nicest looking one was TYP's white one. I really thought that was the best one. The enamel navy whatever.
That's the one I've got.
Yeah, and I thought they were okay. I mean, are you happy with it, Mike?
I like it. The only reason I bought it over the white one is because the white ones were not in stock. I would have preferred white. It matches uh-huh. my iPod and all my Apple products, but I really don't care at the end of the day
yeah.
what color my DS is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty well set on getting the white one. I'm glad that's the only color we're getting. Of course, everybody's going to have a white one, but luckily there'll be those importers. You know, I saw so many DS lights at E3. People just have them everywhere. The enamel navy to me is so close to black that I guess I was in dark lit areas all the time, but it's so close to black that I didn't like either. I kind of felt like I got to play two DS lights. I got to play a dark blue one and a black one, and none of them seemed to be quite as good as the white one. So those are my official impressions of the product that I've never played. So let's see here. The DS Lite is exciting, but we got to play a lot of DS games while we were at E3, and among them were some very big titles, particularly Zelda Phantom Hourglass.
Now, there's a title that people were kind of worried about initially, mm-hmm. you know, because Nintendo comes out and says, oh, we're doing a Zelda game, and it looks like Wind Waker, but it's got the top-down classic style from the original Zelda and Link to the Past, except that you are controlling it with a stylus almost exclusively.
Almost exclusively, yeah. And I'll tell you the truth, I did not mind the stylus controls. I think they felt sharp. I don't know. I know that Mike Gammon, also known as Pale on the forums, has commented on his opinion as far as combat, that it, although it's not a combat-heavy game, it appears it isn't.
Better not be.
Yeah, well, considering how you attack, you do attack by merely tapping on an enemy. However, I think that with the items, with the map, and with the control of the, I didn't get to control the boat, but I heard that the boat controls well, that overall the stylus is, it's not negative. It is working. You don't feel disconnected. It's not at like a point and click in the way that
right.
you know, you click here to move him. You're constantly interacting with the environment.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't heard, you're actually controlling a little fairy, and wherever you put the fairy on the screen, Link sort of follows his way over to that fairy, and you can tap to attack, and you can draw little circles to do spin dashes, and you can bring down the map, and you can draw on the map and leave notes on it, so if you need to remember to hit these switches in a certain order, you can label them 1, 2, 3, and then put it back up on the top screen and refer to it later. It's really fantastic for that.
Yeah, well, let me tell you the truth, that I would have been better off not writing on my map, because by the time I got to the end of that part where you were writing on your map, like, you know, six different places, you had to label them in order, I had actually just pretty much made a bunch of black blobs on my top screen of the DS, and it did not look in any way, it was actually anti-helpful. So if, for those of you with bad handwriting, you might consider getting a different game. Don't get that one.
Go practice in PictoChat.
Yeah. So, Mike, you got to play the multiplayer. There was a multiplayer function.
Yeah, the multiplayer, that's the only thing I played. Unfortunately, I was called out of line to handle an interview or something, I don't remember, right before I got to play the single-player version. But the multiplayer version is set up where it switches off in rounds, and one player plays Link and controls the fairy, and that player's goal is to take little pieces of force gems and take them from the center of a map and drag them to his side of the map. But Link slows down, he is heavily encumbered by these pieces, and he's actually more encumbered by larger pieces than he is by the smaller pieces, but the larger pieces are worth more points, and the opposing player controls a set of three monsters, and the opposing player draws paths on the screen, and the monsters follow these paths, and the goal is to intercept Link and attack him, because when you attack him, the side switches, and the person playing Link is now controlling the monsters, and vice versa for player two. And it switches off on a time limit or a score limit or perhaps both at the same time. I don't remember precisely.
Yeah, and so it, you know, I got to play it a little bit too, and it, you know, it was pretty fun. I'll tell you, it was harder to understand what to do as when you're playing the bad guys, because you've got three guys that you can put on paths. Mm-hmm. And I guess that gives it a lot of depth, because there's a lot of strategy that those guys can do for blocking Link. And I think as soon as someone learns what to do, I don't know, I think it might be a little balanced in the favor of those strong guys.
I'm thinking the same thing, because what I noticed at E3 is that smart people at E3 watch the people before them playing the game, so when they get up to play the game, they know what they're supposed to be doing. And the people doing that very quickly realized a strategy you can pull with the demons is just to, you know, make sure to cover all your bases, and if you're doing that, you can pretty much smoke Link pretty easily.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll probably put more work into that. I don't know, what's the release date on that game?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, you know, don't look to us for information. We're only Planet
That's right.
GameCube. So it's coming out sometime in the next like 3 years, and it actually looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not against it at all. I really think that
No, not at all.
I had a good time with the stylus controls.
Now, next game we're going to talk about Star Fox DS. I liked it, but I think both of us have some pretty big issues with this game.
Yeah, with Star Fox, I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. If there was some sort of, Mike has referred to me, he's referred to the game as having, he's told me that it had real-time strategy elements in between the levels.
They're not quite real time. Let me try to explain is
Okay, yeah, explain it.
before you go into a battle, you're faced with this map screen, and the Great Fox is in one corner, and an opposing enemy mothership is in the other corner. And the goal is to sort of position your fighters. You get, four fighters for each member of the Star Fox team, or sometimes you get less, but sometimes you get more, I guess, if Cat joins in. But the goal is to sort of position your fighters so that they will intercept the enemies, and you move all your fighters, and then the enemy moves all his fighters, and then if they intercept at any point, a battle starts, and if any of your allies are close enough on the map screen, they join you in the battle, and that's when it goes into the more traditional Star Fox mode. It's free roaming, and you're shooting things, and you're on a time limit, and as you take out enemies, you earn stars, and the goal is to collect a certain number of these stars before the time runs out, and then after that, you go back to the map screen, and you repeat the process.
Okay, so what you just explained makes a little bit of sense. But let me tell you that while I was on the floor, and you know, maybe it's because there's a little bit of pressure, there's this guy working for Nintendo kind of staring at you like, are you done yet? But the map stuff did not make sense to me. I was confused. And then, like, I just decided, okay, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to move the characters here. And then I moved them, and then there would be a bunch of other options. And it would like give me like four different options, and I had no idea what to pick. And then it would give me like another set of four options, and I'd have to pick another one. And it was like characters or like cars or I don't know what it was. I got really confused until I finally got into the level, and then I had to learn the controls. So to me, I mean, I think for a demo, they should have just focused on the controls. That element of it was too deep to try and teach.
I really
And I.
liked. Go ahead.
I'll just get, well, whatever. Well, I'm going to probably say the same thing that you're going to say, which is that I think that the free roaming battle areas were fun. I think they're okay. The
I thought
controlling
they
is a little bit
controlled
tightened.
very well,
Yeah.
personally.
Yeah. So, you know, they've got a loop button on the left and then the quick turnaround
An
button on the
Immelman
right.
is the proper term for that.
Okay. Mr. Sklens knows the term. And they had some other things for like bombs, but in general it was just,
Oh
you know,
well,
point and
let's talk about
shoot.
bombs for a second. The cool thing about bombs is that you drag them onto the map, and then the bomb goes right to that spot in the level, and you can use it to destroy a ton of stuff.
Okay, see, again, did not know this. This game is a lot more complicated than a typical Star Fox game in general. So, I don't know. I think it looks like if I can, you know, sit down with the manual, I think it'll be fun. I think I'll have a great time.
There was a tutorial on the floor, also, if you went through that, but I kind of skipped
Oh,
it.
I skipped it too because I was like, this is Star Fox. I know how to play
Well,
Star Fox. How wrong I was.
plus, the way it was at Nintendo's booth, they were like trying to hurry people along because it was so crowded. So I didn't really
Yeah.
want to waste my time with a tutorial.
Exactly, because I didn't want to get back in line. But, you know, I wish I would have spent more time with that game because it seemed like it had a lot of great elements. Yeah, but let me tell you, there's sometimes where the games, like, as a whole, don't really seem to gel, but there's elements that really work, like with Star Fox. Same thing is true with the game Pokémon Mystery Dungeon. I'm really tempted to pick this game up. I am so tempted. I wrote impressions for it, and if you've read it, let me tell you that this is one feature of the game. It lasts maybe 5 minutes of the whole game, and it's at the very beginning, but it might just be worth it to pick it up. $35 for this feature, I'm tempted. What they do is they throw you into the world. You are a human who's been turned into a Pokemon. The way that they figure out which Pokemon you are is by asking you a bunch of really weird questions. And I actually felt a little uncomfortable telling the DS the truth. Like, a couple of them, I think I actually lied. I said, I don't want you to know that about me. But one of the ones that stuck out in my head the most was, you see a hand sticking out of a toilet. What do you do? And the answers were, you could select run and scream, close the lid and quietly walk away, or shake it. Was the third option. And I think I picked close the lid and walk away, but I might have also picked run and scream. I definitely did not say shake it, because I have cleanliness issues that I would not touch a toilet hand at all.
I had a similar question on mine. It was this was actually, I don't know, kind of scary coming from a game for kids, but it was you're walking down the street and you see a girl being harassed in an alley. What do you do? It was something along the lines of that, and the choices were, you know, go and help, or quietly walk away, or call the police, and I'm pretty sure I would call the police.
Okay, so I can just imagine some of the questions we didn't get, like, you've accidentally murdered your mother, what do you do?
How do you hide
Run
the body?
For help or hide it? Something awful like that. I'll bet we didn't even plumb the depths of the sixth sense of humor that Pokemon Mystery Dungeon had on the DS. It's also available on the GBA, but we didn't get to see that.
And the two interact, like the DS version and the GBA version will.
Yeah, oh, I'm
going to
get both. Not.
Maybe if you were seven.
Yeah, I think when I was seven, I did. So when you're done with that, it gave you a Pokemon. I end up being a Cyndaquil.
I was a Mudkip.
And I don't really know if you are a Mudkip, but I think that's a pretty good one. But I played it right there with SS4 Gogeta, Vincent Anderson is his name, and then also with I had Mike Gammon right there, Pale. And Vincent ended up being a what was he? He was a Charmander. And I thought that was so great. It said that he has a fierce personality, and that he was constantly enraged. And if you know Vincent, he's kind of a meek guy, but I could see why the game thought he was a Charmander. And then Gammon ended up being a Machop. And I saw him sit there. I saw his face when it turned out to Machop. I saw his face go from a happy smile enjoying this quiz to a frown. And he was disappointed. He was like, I don't want to be a Machop. A Machop's a lame Pokemon.
Machop is stupid. Why did I get Machop for 4 days? Nothing but, I can't believe I was Machop.
Yeah, and I kept trying to encourage him and tell him, no, man, Machop's good. Machop's good. He's like, I don't like the transformation. He ends up with four arms. Like, that's awesome. A lot of great video game characters have had four arms. Like that Butch woman in Mortal Kombat, you know? I don't think that's the most encouraging thing in the whole world. But I don't know. I think the Machop works out for him. After that, after you're done with it, it's just a pretty typical RPG. You talk with a lot of Pokemon. You go. There's going to be towns. You get a little house that you get to live in. There's some dungeons. It's got some like real-time, quasi-real-time battles that I kind of enjoyed. So I don't know. I think that if it's $35, if they don't hack up the price, I might very well pick it up.
Yeah.
Thought it would look kind of fun. So moving on from that, we've got our very first viewer mail, because apparently we have at least one or two people listening and actually caring what we have to say. So we had a question in the forums in our thread by Nemo_83, who asked the question, what do you guys think Nintendo's long-term strategy is with Wii? As in, what comes after Zelda and Metroid at launch, Mario Galaxy 6 months later, and Red Steel? And I think that this is a really good question, because what we've seen so far with Wii is a lot of games that are going to be excellent at launch, and then after that we see, you know, some major first-party stuff such as we got Super Smash Bros. And Mario Galaxy coming out fairly soon. Super Smash Bros. Is going to be very big, obviously, and that's going to be a system seller. Zelda and Metroid at launch. Red Steel's probably at launch. But other than that, you know, we've got some other games coming. Elebits is at launch. Sonic Wildfire is at launch.
Oh, boy.
SquarePants. So there's a few other titles there, but what's long-term? And particularly because Nintendo didn't show us much. Well, I can think of a few games from Nintendo that they did mention that we don't know much about. Fire Emblem, for one, which will probably follow typical Fire Emblem gameplay, and also Disaster Day of Crisis.
Right.
And the funniest thing about Disaster Day of Crisis is we were trying to theorize in the hotel what this game is about. And I proposed, so maybe it's an RPG. And then to which Bloodworth said, well, of course it's an RPG. It's about the end of the world. And we kind of laugh about that. And he might have a point. Well, based on what we saw, we only saw pre-rendered cinematics of the game. And there seemed to be a main character with some really funky hair.
Well, those are the two most important things for...
Yeah, that's RPGs. Like the next Final Fantasy game to me is right there.
Spiky hair, end of the world. All we need now is some leather daddy supervillain.
Yeah, apparently, you know, the Wind Waking gods from Zelda have invaded a real world of some kind. So, I don't know. That game looks like it could be good. Do we know who's developing that?
I think it was Monolith, but I could be entirely wrong, so please don't quote me on that.
Yeah, again, don't come to us for news. We don't know.
We don't know anything.
Yeah, so we just get to talk about it. So, yeah, that to me, those are two things that we know about. We also know that Tezuka has a project that is under wraps that we don't get to know about. So that's another thing. Apparently, he said that he was overseeing a new game. And I think it's almost guaranteed that Miyamoto has something up his sleeves that we didn't get to see at E3. Since it wasn't at E3, I'm betting it's not a launch title, and I'm betting we might not even see it this year. But the most likely thing is that we'll see something next year that is a new IP along the lines of Pikmin, the way Pikmin was for GameCube. I think we'll see something. Also, Nintendogs is pretty strong, and it seems as though the third parties are warming up to the game, to the system as well. So I think that long-term strategy, we haven't seen it yet because we haven't yet seen even what's happening at launch. We don't know the final details of the virtual console or even final controller, if it's going to get changed again because it was changed three times
in
2 weeks. I think it'll be changed again, and at least I hope it will be. And based on that, I think that we'll see around launch, we'll see more titles popping up. They'll say, okay, 6 months in, you'll get this. 8 months, you'll get this. And that's when we'll start to see it.
So now we're going to talk about some more of the crazier games we saw for the DS at E3. I know Evan was a big fan of Chibi-Robo on the GameCube, so I think you should start us off with talking about Chibi-Robo Park Patrol.
Chibi-Robo Park Patrol. Well, friends, if you liked Chibi-Robo, let me say, I'd put this in my impressions. Put your money down right now. This game was, to me, almost a little bit more fun. It seems as though you're going to have a park world that you're going to be able to advance through in a similar way to the house. You'll get abilities and work your way through. It seems as though the abilities will be new.
Now, wait, I'm going to ask a question here. How does this work? Because I was under the impression that in Chibi-Robo, you had to plug yourself into a power outlet to keep yourself alive.
You're correct.
So how do you do that if you're outside?
That's a very good question. Well, Chibi-Robo has a little chibi house that he lives in that apparently... Oh, and this is how it happens. It will regenerate his power if he goes and plants flowers and gains happy points. He then turns those into juice, which he can use to refill himself. It's a portable, he's a self-sustaining machine, really.
I wish I could get my car to run on happy juice. Plant some flowers and get a couple gallons of gas. That'd be nice.
Yeah, yeah. Plant flowers. And what Chibi gets to do when he plants a flower is he plants a flower, he has to water it with the squirter, and then he has to play music for it. And when he plays music, if you've played Chibi, you know that music's a major part of the game. And he dances and he gets down, and then the plant all of a sudden blooms to life. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to do this. And the park seemed to have areas that you could do, like a water area. So I'm betting you'll get either to swim, which would be a little weird considering water is really bad for him, or you might get to go on a boat, something along those lines.
Cool.
I thought that it looks like it's going to be a great game for every Chibi fan. The guy sitting next to me was playing 15 minutes when I sat down, and when by the time that I was finished with the demo, he was still playing. I commented to him. I said, "This game makes me happy." He said, "Yeah." Yeah, I know. he was a fan, I guess.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Another crazy game we ran into was Elite Beat Agents. And if you don't know anything about this game, you should. It's essentially a westernized sequel of a game that came out of Japan called Os Tatake Uendan. And it's this crazy Japanese rhythm game developed by Innes, and for those of you who don't know, Innes developed the PlayStation 2 game Guitar Man,
Ooh.
and they've done this game where music plays in the background, and you have to tap little areas on the screen corresponding with the beat, and trace little paths and spin spinners all in time with the beat, and it gets incredibly hard, incredibly early on in the game. And from what I've heard, that the game didn't have much of a big success in Japan, and from apparently a good chunk of the sales in Japan were actually people in America importing it, because I guess one guy said it was awesome, and then everyone imported it and found out that indeed it is
And who do you
awesome.
think that one guy was,
I don't know,
Glenn?
somebody on the Gaming Age forums, no doubt.
Oh, really? I thought it was Chris Kohler.
Well, yes, definitely Chris Kohler had a big
I
push.
think I heard Chris Kohler helped get the game developed or something. So because of that, yeah, I got to play it for a little while. Let me just say that it is hard. I didn't finish the E3 demo. I couldn't finish it.
The stuff at E3 was a cakewalk compared to how hard that game gets.
Okay, so let me tell you this. I don't think I can buy that game because I will get too frustrated. I think that the graphics are fun, and I think that and watching Windy Man and Johnny compete in the lobby
Those guys are
right
good.
after breakfast. Yeah. That was interesting, and I just don't think I'm cut out for that hardcore tapping. But it's quirky and fun. Another game that's quirky and fun that I got to play. I think I might be the only person on staff that got to play it. It's the game Contact. And Contact is looking to sh it's looking to for to me be one of the RPG experiences on the DS.
Now, this game is developed by Grasshopper, who did Killer 7, so you know that something crazy is coming out of it.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's kind of more along the lines of, I hate to say chibi robo crazy, or maybe it's got Earthbound crazy as well. In fact, Earthbound is the first game that I thought of when I first saw it because it's got these very simple, it's got an isometric perspective and a simple graphical style and cartoony almost. It was almost even deliberately blocky and looks like it was something for the Game Boy Advance. And the game starts out without you with you in a room. You're looking in a room, and there's a doctor on a computer. He doesn't do anything at all until you tap him with the stylus. And when you tap him with the stylus, he says, oh my, you've made contact with me. And at that moment, I understood the game because it's all about the fact that this little guy is contacting you through your DS. He even says that. That's the very next thing he says. He says, I've been trying to contact you through your DS for a long time. I'm glad we finally made contact. And someone said that this game breaks the fourth wall. That is absolutely true. It is absolutely true. Then his adventure moves to the top screen. He ends up in this blocky sprite style, interacting with this more, I call it, I thought it was more of a Golden Sun style of graphics, which is apparently the player, they kind of interact with each other. They run across each other through chance. And then the guy, this doctor, who's more of a mother-style doctor, ends up having enlisting this Golden Sun-style boy to do things for him. And then the RPG starts. The top screen's always this doctor as he's talking to you, and the bottom screen's always this guy as he's going on adventures and killing monsters. And it seems as though the game is about the communication between these two worlds, and the game uses the two screens perfectly for that because it's two different worlds. I think it's going to be excellent. I don't know how far that plot is going to go. It might just be a very simple setup to a very simple concept. I don't know, but I think that's top of my list for games that I'm going to buy as soon as they come out. Day they come out, I'm going to pick that one up.
Mine's definitely Elite Beat Agents.
Well, while you're playing Elite Beat Agents, I'll be playing something that I can actually beat. Elite
Ha.
Unbeatable Agents is what it should be called.
Yes, sir. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. I want to give another plug to Nintendo Funhouse Radio. If you enjoy video game music or video game remixes, that type of stuff, please listen to Nintendo Funhouse Radio. It's at live365.com/johnnyboy117. That is Planet GameCube's official radio broadcast. And then, of course, you have Radio Free Nintendo, hosted by myself and Evan, your wonderful podcast. A lot of stuff has happened with the podcast in the last week. Last week, you just had to download it. You can still do that this week, but now I've gone through great lengths to set up an RSS feed for both the M4A AAC version of the podcast and the MP3 version. The AAC version is also listed in the iTunes podcast directory, And if you go to odeo.com, that's odeo.com, and look up Radio Free Nintendo, you can find us there. All of this information is located in the podcast main page on Planet GameCube. There should be a headline up for that. And Evan, what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we will be reading more of your viewer mail, if we get any. And we'll also be talking about upcoming and current GameCube and GBA games, because they haven't been getting a lot of press, but we're confident the systems aren't dead yet, and we've got a few things that we could talk about.
Super Paper Mario.
Okay, well, I mean, maybe. let's just say that Super Paper Mario might be the not only the next best thing since sliced bread, it might have topped sliced bread. I think that it is beyond a slice of it's a slice of bread with honey pockets inside of it. To say that I'm looking forward to that game is like saying that does a dog thirst for some metaphorical allegorical beautiful thing that you can pretend that's there. That's the show for today.
We'll see you again next week on Wednesday. We're gonna try and be here every Wednesday for you, get you over the middle of the week with some sweet Nintendo news and commentary. Thanks for listening.